Hallelujah. I welcome everyone here tonight in the precious name of Jesus. I want to welcome the RCCG National Praise Team from Redemption Camp, led by Pastor Raphael Olatunji. We are happy to have you in our midst today. Thank you for coming. God bless you. They are in town and they came to worship with us. And I welcome everyone here. The seed of destiny today is so appropriate to the season that we are in. And many times it is hard to comprehend what happens in society at times. But the scripture has answer to everything. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1, 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2, he said this, know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Verse 3 now, which is the emphasis? Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. I'll read it from another translation just shortly. We live in days where people are literally endeavoring to make a living out of hatred, out of hating people, out of bitterness. Look at the Bible in basic English in verse 3. That is making a living from hating people or mobilizing people to hate people. Look at what the Bible says. That in the last days, let's start from verse 1. Start from verse 1. All the way from verse 1. But be certain of this, that is in the last days, times of trouble will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, uplifted in pride, giving to bitter words, going against the authority of their fathers, never giving praise, having no religion, without natural love. The love that you should love others naturally is absent. Bitter haters. Is this saying something to you? Bitter haters, saying evil of others. Violent and uncontrolled, hating everything that is good. If it is not good, they are okay. If it is good, if it is outstanding, if it is successful, it attracts the hatred. So look at your neighbor, say, we are just in the end time. Can you give me another translation of that? Bitter haters. Bitter. Verse 3. And they will be unloving, devoid of natural human affection, calloused and inhuman, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, devoid of self-control, intemperate, immoral, brutal, haters of good. Another translation. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. Dog eat dog. Unbending slanderers. Impulsively wild. Savage. Have you heard of the word among the youth today? They call savage. Cynical. Take one more and then we go. They will be unkind, merciless, slanderous, violent, and fierce. They will hate the good. The reason why these scriptures are being read tonight is that for any child of God to be carried away under this cloud makes you a victim of the agenda of the Antichrist in the end time. Never allow the temptation to be swept into becoming a bitter hater. Overcome you. The seed of destiny today just leads us in the way. The Bible in the basic English version, maybe you just cut that and put it somewhere. When you see things in our society, just remind yourself, these are symptoms of the end time. Hatred will flow like an epidemic. Read it again. Without natural love. That is the way somebody will naturally love normal human beings and have human feeling doesn't exist. Bitter haters, saying evil of others, violent, uncontrolled, hating everything that is good. That is the end time. Lift your right hand and say, Father. Say it louder. Say, Father, I receive deliverance. I receive deliverance. I receive deliverance from the plague of the end time. I receive deliverance from the plague of the end time. I refuse to be a victim of this plague of the end time. Thank you, Master, in Jesus' precious name. We'll talk a little more about this particular scripture in some time to come. I believe you will never be a victim. And if you have ever been a victim before, being recruited to hate, Lord, I'm sorry. Pardon me. This is not my realm. I cannot be under the influence of the God of this world. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17. Very, very quickly. The prophet of the word. Thus fear the Lord, the Redeemer, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou should go. I teach you to profit, I lead you in the way you should go. The subject tonight is the prophet of the word. The prophet of the word of God. The prophet of the word. Our objective is to understand the profitability of the word, or how profitable the word of God is. The prophet of the word. We just saw the Bible makes it clear that God's teaching is unto profit. He teacheth to profit. You go through scripture, you come to Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 10. The Bible is referred to as the good word, the word of God. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word. Perform my good word toward you. I will perform my good word. In Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 5, the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 6, talking about those who fell away, it talks about people who have tasted the good word of God. They have tasted the good word. So the word of God is calculated for the delivery of good. It's calculated to deliver good. Question is, what good has the word of God come to do? What has the word of God come to do in our lives? What is the profit of the word? Number one, the word of God builds us up spiritually. It builds us up, builds the saint up spiritually. In Acts chapter 20 and in verse 32, the Bible says, Acts 20, 32, and now brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Is able to build you up. The word of God is necessary for the construction of spirituality. It's necessary for the construction of spiritual life, for the build up of spiritual life. In Matthew chapter 4 and in verse 4,
The Bible said, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The word of God is for spiritual construction, for spiritual nourishment, for spiritual build up. Everyone who feeds on the word can end up becoming a giant in the spirit. Spiritual giants are made from word diet. Spiritual giants are made from word diet. When you see a man that is a giant in the spirit, that is a force in the spirit, he is a man of the world. Spiritual midgets, spiritual dwarfs are made from lack of word ingestion. They are made from lack of word ingestion, even injection. If you lack the word, there is no way you can grow in size in the realm of the spirit. If you lack the word, there is no way you can flourish spiritually. The word of God builds us up. It builds us up. You want to be a giant of the faith, you must be a man of the word. Smith Wigglesworth, it was said that he read the Bible every 30 minutes, every 30 minutes, every 30 minutes, every 30 minutes. Every 30 minutes he will open the scripture and look at something. Every 30 minutes. No wonder he was an apostle of faith and a giant on the spiritual journey. The men of the world like Kenneth Hagin, like Kenneth Copeland, these are spiritual giants. You want to be a giant spiritually, you must feed on the diet of the word. The word of God builds us up spiritually. Number two, the word of God connects us to our inheritance in God. Connects us to our inheritance in God. He said, I commend you to God and to the word of his faith that is able to build you up and give you your inheritance. It connects us to our inheritance in God. He's able to build us up. Acts 20:32 again. And I commend you to God and to the word of his grace that is able to build you up and to give you your inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Hallelujah. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 3 and in verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 3 and in verse 4. He said, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and to virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. By his word, we become partakers. We become partakers of our inheritance. It's important to know, listen, that the word of God gives us access to our bill of rights and privileges in God. Our bill of rights and privileges in God. What belongs to you by right in God, you get to access it. What is your privilege in God, you get to understand it by your knowledge of the word. By your knowledge of the word. By your knowledge of the word. Having the knowledge of the word has made many things easy for us. For example, I am aware that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The meaning of that is nobody owns any land. Nobody owns any property. Everything belongs to God. People are ordinary caretakers. So if there is any property per time that God needs and we need, we can have it. Irrespective of who is owning it per time. Hallelujah. I told you the story before. One day I came from work and my wife was pregnant for our first child. And she was trying to vomit, salivating, and so on. I said, what's happening? He said that she's pregnant now. It is normal for anybody that is pregnant to do that. I say, oh, really? Please show me in the word where it is written. When thou art pregnant, thou shalt vomit. I put a big Bible, I gave it to her. She looked at me and said, what kind of man is this? You can't even pity me that I'm pregnant. Long story made short, that was the arrest of every hyperemesis symptom. Excessive pregnancy symptom. That was the arrest. The word of God gives you the basis of expectation. Revelation becomes the basis of your expectation. Not the situation of the world, not the situation around you. It becomes your basis. For example, I am aware that my God shall supply my needs according to his riches in glory. not according to the situation of the land. So I move my life as if there is nothing going wrong in the land. Hallelujah. He gives us, he shows us our bill of rights and privileges, what to expect, and what is like our constitution. This is what you are to expect in your life, and this is what is abominable. This is what you can accept, and this is what you must reject. That word of God shows it to us. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody shout aloud, most amen. Can you say amen at the top of your voice? Can you say a louder believers, amen? One day, Kenneth Hagin was having an encounter with Jesus. And then a demon like a monkey came in between and was moving and playing and doing all manner of things. And Kenneth Hagin was not hearing what Jesus was saying again because of the influence of that demon. And Kenneth Hagin watched for a while to watch Jesus rebuke the devil. But Jesus was also kept on talking. But Kenneth was not hearing because of the demon moving. At the end of the day, I don't know what happened after everything cleared or something. Kenneth Hagin asked the master, he said, why? I was expecting you to. How can the devil misbehave in your presence? I was expecting you to tell him to go. He said, that was why I gave you the authority. He said, in my word, I already gave you the authority. And I was expecting you to exercise your authority. He said, and I'll keep on watching until you exercise your authority. So the word of God shows you the authority to exercise. Am I communicating at all? If you are here, you are a believer, shout the loudest, amen. Paul Yonggi-cho said that one day he was trying to deal with the devil. The more he prayed, the more the devil remained. And all of a sudden he remembered that Jesus Christ gave him the authority and he died on the cross of Calvary. So he addressed that devil and he said, you have to go right now because my elder brother Jesus conquered you on the cross of Calvary. He defeated you and gave me the authority to deal with you. And the devil said, I am going to go. But what you just said, now don't tell anybody. Don't tell other people. Then tell other people. See, what you have is a product of what you know. It's a product, what you experience is a product of what you know out of the world. You don't get results in life on the basis of assumption. On the basis of the fact that you go to church. We live in a highly spiritual world that is also highly legalistic. The Bible, highly legal, I don't know, highly, the Bible calls the devil the accuser of the brethren. So he's there on the grounds of law that this person shouldn't have this or that. And then you must quote out of the constitution to let the enemy know what your right is. That you are not going to have the liability of your father's house. That you are not going to have the defeat and the failure of your lineage. Because when Jesus died, he disconnected you from that lineage in the realm of the spirit. Somebody shout the loudest, amen. The word of God connects us to our inheritance in God. The more of the word you know, the more of what you are to expect from God or from life you will know. Number three, the word of God is purifier and sanctifier of life. It's a purifier and a sanctifier. It's a purifier and sanctifier of our lives. In Psalm 119, verse 9 and 11. Psalm 119, verse 9 and 11. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? He said, by taking heed thereto, according to thy word. When I take heed to the word of God, I cleanse my way. In verse 11, he said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. If I take heed to the word, I cleanse my way. In Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 26, Ephesians 5, 26, he said, that he might sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of the water by the word. 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 We are washed by the word as water is used to wash the body. In John chapter 15 and verse 3, John 15 and verse 3, he said that now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You are clean. You are clean. To be in touch with the word is to walk in cleanness of life. To be in touch with the word is to walk in clearness or tenderness of conscience. When a person is in touch with this book, conscience is tender. That is, you know when you do wrong, and you know how to adjust from wrong deed. You know how not to hurt God or man. But when you are out of touch with the word, conscience is hardened. Feelings are dead. You see, so cleansing is impossible. The word of God is very, very important for the cleansing of life. Out of touch with the word means stepping into the worst of yourself. When you are out of touch with this book, you step into the worst of your life. The worst person you can be begins to come out. The word of God is purifier and sanctifier of life. Number four, the word is fuel for prayer life. Is fuel for prayer life. Fuel. Is fuel for prayer life. Is fuel for prayer life. Look at what the Bible said in Hosea chapter 14 and verse 2. Hosea chapter 14 and verse 2. Master Kokola Karataera. He said, take with you words and turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity. Take with you words. When you have words, especially the words of God, you can turn to the Lord at the place of prayer. The word of God is a fuel for prayer life. John chapter 15 and in verse 7. Look at what the Bible said in John 15 and in verse 7. It said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Abide in me and let this book abide in you. Let it remain in you. It's just, you shall ask. It's just natural. If you abide in me and my word is loaded in you, asking is natural. Prayer becomes natural. Somebody say aloud, amen. So there is a direct connection between word study and prayer life. The more the study of the word, the more intense your prayer life. Now if you leave that, alright, so let's say it like this. Potency of prayer and vibrancy of faith are fueled by the word. Potency of prayer. To have a potent prayer life. Potency of prayer and vibrancy of faith are both fueled by the word. I know days where I'm studying the Bible, maybe in the university days and even now, and then all of a sudden I just erupt in a revelation. And then I close the book for a while and just swim in that revelation in tongues, in prayer, for a variable length of time, and then return back again and move from there and return back. Vibrancy. Now look at what Elijah said in 1 Kings chapter 18 and in verse 36. 1 Kings 18 and in verse 36. He said, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah came, the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel and that I am thy servant and that I have done all these things at thy word. On the basis of that, verse 37, hear me. These actions, these steps, all that I'm doing, including this prayer, is based on your word. So hear me. Am I communicating? Word-based prayers are prayers that have guaranteed answers. Word-based prayers are answer-guaranteed prayers. Hear me, because I have done all these things according to your word. I am praying according to your word. I am not praying by sentiments. I am praying by your word. And God heard him, and the fire fell. Tonight, God is hearing somebody. If you are that one, say aloud, amen. If you are saying amen, say aloud, amen. If you are that one, say aloud, amen. In Isaiah chapter 41 and in verse 21, Isaiah 41, 21, see what the Bible said. Produce your cause Say the Lord, bring forth your strong reasons. Why do you want me to answer you? Tell me out of this book, and I will hear you. Produce your cause. Bring forth your strong reasons out of the book. Isaiah 43 and in verse 23. Isaiah 43 and in verse 23. 26 rather. 43:26. He said, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Remind me of what I said. Bring back to mind. It's not that I have forgotten, but just tell me. What I have said in my word that is the basis for your prayer, remind me. Put me in remembrance. Right? When somebody says, please remind me, he said, when did that happen? When did I say this? Just remind me. That's what God is saying. What I have said before, or what I have done before, that is the basis why you want me to do this one, remind me. And all that happens on the basis of the word. Let it be made clear that wordless prayer is worthless prayer. Wordless is worthless. That is why most times, all the time, when we pray the commanding, the day, midnight prayer, every prayer has a prayer, has a verse, has a scripture. On the basis of this scripture, let us pray this prayer. On the basis of this scripture, let us pray this prayer. On the basis of this scripture, let us pray that prayer. Hallelujah. The word is fuel for prayer life. Number five, the word of God is fuel for spiritual fire. Fuel for spiritual fire. Jeremiah chapter 5 and in verse 14. Jeremiah 5 and in verse 14. He said, wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and these people wood, and they shall devour them. My word is fire. In Jeremiah 20 and in verse 9. 20 and in verse 9. He said, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing. His word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up. His word in your bone is fire in your bones. In Jeremiah 23 verse 29, still, he said, it's not my word like as a fire, said the Lord. And like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. The word is as fire. Listen to this. The fullness of word is fullness of spiritual fire. The absence of word is absence of spiritual fire. When we say spiritual fire, we are referring to aggressive zeal for God. We are referring to enthusiastic existence spiritually. Your life is literally boiling over. Fullness of word is fullness of spiritual life. The absence of the word is the absence of spiritual fire. Zeal, enthusiasm, passion for God, all can be fueled by the word. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a louder amen. To lack the word is to lack spiritual fire. Number six, finally, the word of God is trigger for spiritual power. Spiritual power. Worded people are powerful people. Worded people are powerful people. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and in verse 4, he said, where the word, chapter 8 verse 4, where the word of the king is, there is power. The word of the King of Kings is a carrier of power. Where the word of the king is, there is power. There is power. If that word is inside you, there is power inside you. Hey, if that word is inside you, there is power inside you. If that word is inside a church, there is power inside that church. If that word is in a family, there is power in that family. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody shout a loud most amen. Where the word of the king is, there is power. There is power. There is power.
I was preaching one time, brutal word like this. Just like this. And then, now look at Luke chapter 4 before I say that testimony. Luke chapter 4 verse 32. The Bible said, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. I was preaching like this and stopped in the middle of the preacher and said, that is God healing someone of blindness. There's blindness being healed right now. And continued preaching. A few minutes after that, shouting started somewhere in the crowd. What's happening? I can see. What's going on? Young lady, university student, dreamt in the night. Masquerade pursued her, poured sand in the eyes, woke up blind. In the course of that word, bam! That masquerade was electrocuted and checked back from hell. I can see you. You know the next statement? So I'll be able to write the exam. Where the word of the king is, there is power. To be worded is to be wired with power. Show me a man, a woman that is worded, is wired with power. I announce to somebody here tonight, power is coming your way. Power is coming your way. And everything that is not of God in your life is checking back to hell now. Yesterday we saw incredible, incredible things. A man brought a laborer, a worker, who came to work in his house. He was communicating to the laborer and he was not responding. So he asked the other person who came with him. What's happening? Oh no, the man does not hear. He doesn't talk. Since when? Since however long they knew him. He said, okay, I want to take him to our church for him to be healed. The other person laughed. Can we go? He said, no, I'm not going. You people can go. They came back. They came to this church yesterday, healing and deliverance service in the morning. Here is a word-based place that is a firepower-based place. While the service was on, people were shouting, amen. All of a sudden, the man who brought him heard him shout, amen. That was how they rushed him to the front yesterday morning. How many of you were there? Yesterday morning. That's the man right there. The man with the red dress. Rushed him. If you look at his face, they rushed him to the front. He repeated everything. It was only when we say Jesus, and I say Jesus, that we knew truly this guy had never heard or spoken. Has never heard it. Dance to the drum beat. We asked.
The man who brought him started crying, went on his knees. In that same service, lady who had not stepped her feet on the ground since last year, all manner of miracles.
Where the word of the king is, there is power.
In Luke chapter 4 verse 36, he went further. They said, what a word is this? And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power, he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out. With authority and power, he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out. The word of God is trigger for spiritual power. If you don't want to be powerless, ensure you are not wordless. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and in verse 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. Our gospel came not just in word. It came with power and in the Holy Ghost and in most assurance. Hebrews chapter 1 and in verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, the Bible said, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. His word carries power. He upholds or holds up all things by the word of his power. Somebody say a loud amen.
Powerful people in scripture were awarded the most, one of the strong power brokers in the Bible was Moses. He almost buried the whole of Egypt. That Moses was word personified. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. All of them were inside him. And so he was speaking with audacity and authority. Water coming out of the rock. And Elijah was another power man. He said, Lord, I've done all these things according to your word.
Word-based men and women are kingdom power brokers. Paul the apostle, handkerchiefs left his body. He was the one that wrote everything from the book of Acts of the Apostles, almost all the way to the book of Hebrews, apart from Jude, and then First and Second Peter, and then First, Second, and Third John. Everything, James, he wrote everything else. He was a worded man that moved in the realm of power. Demons knew him. Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. Who are you? That is power. Beloved brothers and sisters, study the raw book and gather power. Look for scriptures that inflame your enthusiasm. Listen to messages that will intoxicate you. Coming here, I was listening to a message I preached somewhere titled Bulldozer Anointing. I was listening to it before I came to the service here. Alright? So, and it's charging me up afresh. The word of God intoxicates you. The word of God electrifies your life. And if you pardon me, powerizes you. Powerization. You can't be called a weak man. You can't be called a weak man. You can't be called a weak man. You can't be called a weakling if you are connected with word. And get ready, because if you are a man of God and authority and audacity, hell will run mad. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hell will run mad, but who cares about hell and their madness? Would the populate hell, beat the devil upside the head, and when the time is up, we are up into eternity to meet with our Maker. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody shout the loudest amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Stand up on your feet and shout the loudest amen. And shout the loudest amen. Help me walk to 7 people. Tell them walk in power by walking in the word. Walk in power by walking in the word. Walk in power by walking in the word. Walk in power. Walk 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 in the word. Give the Lord a big clap and a loud shout of praise. And take your seat in the presence of the Lord. And so, what does the word do for us? The word, first and foremost, builds us up spiritually, connects us with our inheritance in God, purifies and sanctifies our lives, fuel for prayer life, fuel for fire, and of course, trigger for spiritual power. This is just one counsel. Don't just read or study the word of God. Trust God to access the prophet of the word. Don't just read or study the word of God. Trust God to access the prophet of the word. Trust him to access the prophet of the word. Study the word until you collide with your inheritance. Until you see yourself literally becoming a spiritual giant. Until the cleansing is happening, your habits are changing, lifestyle is changing. Until your prayer life is becoming buoyant. Until you feel the fire. Until you experience the power. Study the word. Hallelujah. And it's a new day for you. Somebody bless this month, this evening, say loud amen. Somebody bless this evening, shout the loud and say amen. You are the most blessed person here. Arise, shine, for your light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Give the Lord a loud shout of victory. A bigger, bigger clap. And a louder shout of victory. I'd like you to pray in the spirit for 5 minutes. There is something I call revelation installation. It's called what? Revelation installation. So, you get a revelation by meditation and you give it installation by fireization. You just tongue it by tongation. Father, let this word become real in my life. Let me become natural. It's like the process of digesting food. You see the rice, you are seeing it, it does nothing to you. Put it in your mouth, it does nothing to you, but digest it. It becomes a part of your fabric. You are moving naturally in the strength of rice. Someone who does restaurant brought a list of what he wants to do, and I saw akpu right there. I said, oh, you cook akpu and you do it pop, you put it boldly. He said, oh, so yes, that personally it is his best food. And the person is here right now, but I won't mention names. He does a lot of energetic things in the strength of Apple. It's wired into his system by digestion. That is what happens to you. Father, this word that I have heard, wire it into me. Let me begin to move naturally in fire power, in benefiting from the profit of this world. Are you here? Lift your voice and your hands now and say, Father, I receive
the installation
of this revelation, at this place, of supplication, in the spirit. Help me, Lord, to be built up by the word when I read it. Help me, Lord, to access my inheritance by the word. Help me, Lord, to experience answered prayer by the word. To experience cleansing by the word. Help me, Lord, to experience powerful prayer life by the word. Help me, Lord, to experience spiritual fire by the word. Help me, Lord, to walk in power by the word. Open your mouth now, pray in the spirit. Open your mouth and pray in the spirit. Let us attack. Precious name. Give the Lord a praise and lift up your two hands everywhere and just receive what God has. Even the word that you heard tonight, there is an inheritance that is yours inside that word. Lift your hands and receive it right now.
Is coming up for people. High blood pressure is not your inheritance. It's cleaning out right now. An inherited hypertension, diabetes, is not your inheritance.
Amen.
It's clearing out right now.
Amen.
The right shoulder condition is being cleared right now.
Amen.
Anal condition is being cleaned out right now.
Amen.
Hepatitis A, B, C. They are clearing out right now. I see the arrest of a spirit relationship, spirit husband, spirit wife. Your tenure expired right now. Managaya daya husata. Lift your hands up. Let us set a fetter. I see an O D U. Leofati Sitalana Shadarota Sarashta. Lekete seta fatoshana kakalayatina kakalaya dusurotodisi. Yekola when I first name was on him with a witchcraft power. Lato shata parata manipulating life and destiny. Leko sperata satina kakalayatana nanana. Yeshaya! Lekete setefeta satoko kolakaka. Arrested progress near success syndrome. Lekasta ferona katasana kakalaya. An attempt on life. Attempt of on life. The spirit of death moving. Today, I declare that your key is broken. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I see the release of supernatural supplies. What is yours that the devil has kept back? What is yours that the devil has held back? I see the release of them right now. I see the release of spiritual fire. Spiritual fire. Somebody is gaining back his spiritual life. Getting back their spiritual life. Your prayer fire went down. Study of the word went down. Everything went down. But right now, there is a release. There is a restoration. There is a release. I take authority over that cancer, prostate cancer. I take authority over that breast cancer. Your yoke is broken. Lift up your two hands now. When I say in the name of Jesus, you scream, I receive, and place your hand on your head. And just receive what God has for you, your inheritance tonight. I declare the release. What is yours, you release right now. In the name of Jesus, well. That's right, the fruit of the womb is just released as well. In the name of Jesus, one, two, and three. Receive.
Get your hands and give him the praise.